Golf Smarter number 626. Stay tuned after our conversation for another installment of the Golf Smarter Academy, presented by Health IQ. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/golfsmarter or mention the promo code GOLFSMARTER when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Golf is a great family activity, but do you start on the range or the green? With Kathy Cho.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Kathy.
Hello, Fred.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here today because we were introduced to each other by Paul Cervantes.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul's a writer. He actually worked with Tony Manzoni on his book, The Lost Fundamental. And I was talking to Paul about hopefully getting Tony's book as an ebook. And he said, you know, I have somebody you have to meet. And here we are, Kathy.
Yes, Paul is a good friend of mine. And he found me through a website, a Google Me, and find me for golf lesson. And I found out he write a book. So he think I'm very different than other instructors. So he took several lessons with me. And then he asked me, you want to write a book? So sure. So we write a book together. So we have one book together.
Oh, and what is your book? This is a surprise to me. Paul didn't say anything about that.
My book name is From the Hole to the Tee.
From the Hole?
And this book, yeah, From the Hole to the Tee. And this book guide to teaching golf to children. But also you can put beginner golfer.
Oh, you know? I see. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. And yes. And is that book available on Amazon?
Yes, it's Amazon.
Okay, well, we're definitely going to put that. We're putting together a list right now of all the books that we've ever had on featured on the podcast, and we're going to make them available so people can just easily find them. So we will make sure that From the Hole to the Tee by Kathy Cho and Paul Cervantes is going to be available if people already haven't started looking for it. Definitely going to talk about getting started in golf, getting your children started in golf in a few minutes. But I think it's probably fairly obvious at this point that you're not a native-born American by your accent.
And yes.
Tell me a little bit about your story of coming to the United States.
Yes, I grew up a large family member in Korea, and I have six girls and two boys at home. So we have a 10 member, a big family. And I always dreamed that I wanted to go and leave another country, not my country, because I had a passion to look some big word. And I try to get a job after graduate high school, try to get a job, any chance that if I can go another country. And there was a one job opening through my relative that opened one job from embassy of Korea. Wow. In other country. That's why I went different country a little time to time. And my last work was in Mexico. So from Mexico, I was on my way home. And I wanted to stop by United States, and I stopped here, and I went to school here a little bit to learn English.
Where did you go to school?
LA City College.
Okay, so you went to Los Angeles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't graduate, but I took some English class there. And it's not a credit class. It's just for learning English class. And I took about a year, and I stay here, and I met my husband.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. Well, it's too bad that it was only a non-credit class, because you would have gotten 100%. Your English has become excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
And how many siblings did you have growing up in Korea?
I have seven. So total 8 include me.
And okay, 8 children in the family, and you were the one who had wanderlust. You wanted to travel. You wanted to go outside. Were other siblings feeling the same way, or was it just you?
No, everybody still stayed there. And the 2 brothers, just lately, several years ago, they came over. And they live in Los Angeles near Koreatown.
Oh.
But all my sisters in Korea.
Wow. And how did your parents feel about you? Were you the problem child who wanted to leave?
No, actually, they're so encouraged me that, you know, I'm the one very independent. All of our sisters are very independent and bright, and they're all doing their own thing. But especially me, like my mom said, you're a wild horse. Like, oh, like you like to go somewhere else. And she always said I'm different. But that they encouraged me a lot.
Wow. Yeah, my wife had a similar, she only has 2 siblings, but she was the trouble, not the trouble one, but her mother always said, and then I had her, you know, completely different than her siblings, the wild one.
Well, a lot of people think an Asian woman, young age, live in another country alone, could be a dangerous, or could be a some issue or dangerous. But I really, I set my goal and I have a goal and I try to have life more the way I want to. And I try even harder than anybody else to live right.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That is so great. So how did golf, did you start playing golf when you were in Korea?
No, I didn't even know the word of golf. And I heard about it, but really, what's the golf? I have no idea at the time. And I came to the United States, and I see a lot of people talk about golf, and then golf is like high-class game, and cost a lot of money, they said. So I searched for a golf lessons, so I want to take some lessons and want to try out, because I'm just a curious always, and wondering a lot of things.
The wild
so,
child.
Yes, so I signed up golf lessons.
And where were you living when you did that? Were you already in the United States, or were you in Mexico? Where?
Yeah, I was in the United States.
Okay.
And I arrived 1979. And first thing I looked for golf lessons, there was a little Western Golf Academy in Koreatown. It's a little indoor places. And I went there and I tried. And my teacher said, oh, you have talent. And I think he just wanted to say a nice word to me, I thought. But a lot of people, it's hard to break 100. But I did broke 100 within less than a year, I remember.
Wow.
So I thought, my teacher said I'm good. That gave me really confidence.
Oh, so confidence, so important in mm-hmm. golf, among other things.
Yes.
Wow. And so you got, like many of us, you got bitten by the golf bug and you were hooked.
Yes, I did.
And so how did it end up that you, within a short period of time, you were able to break 100? And how many years did it take you to become an LPGA Class A teaching professional?
That was in the 1980s I started playing golf. And then on and off, I play, practice a lot. And I set one day a week. It was my golf day. And I work and study. At night, I go to school. During the day, I work full time. But I set my time for me to practice golf. And if there's any time on my way, there's a driving range or something, then let me hit good 50 or 100 balls.
Wow.
Even the whole bucket is 150 balls or whatever. I said, let me hit just 50 good balls. And I try and focus. And then I signed up women's club at Brookside a long time ago. And I joined a club. And I play with women's clubs. And also women's club offer county golf, Publings golf. So I joined there too. So actively I play with other women's club. And I was a women's golf, our women's club champion for 3 times.
Congratulations.
And, yes, and also, yes, and I shot about 74, 76, often about 1989, 90-ish, early 90. So my handicap went down like a 4.
Wow.
And so at the time, I went through a lot of life challenge faced to me. Because in 1994, it was a riot, L.A. riot,
yep.
Rodney King
yep.
riot.
Yep.
And that comes just for everywhere. And I had my own business. It's a fashion business. And burned down to that fire. So because I was just there and it happened. So I lost business and struggling financially. So I got a job from Brookside Golf Course where I've been play a lot in women's club. And so there was a job opening in the shop. So I worked till I built my business. And that become my golf beginning of my career.
Oh, and you built your golf teaching business?
Not built it yet. And work for merchandise helper and cashier, a salesperson.
So you had that fashion business experience already. And then when you go to work in the pro shop, you can help them with that.
Yes, I've been display pro shop and I'm helping customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody think, you're good at golf. Why don't you try golf, not just playing tournament? I didn't play any major big tournament, no, but county and Publings and team play, I've been played those. They said, why don't you try teaching career? So I tried PGA. So PGA level 1, 2, 3, I went through and now my class A PGA pro. Mm. And also I become LPGA class A pro after that. Think I become a PGA pro 19, I forgot about 10 years ago.
About 2007, 2008?
Yeah, I think it's a 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I become after one year and a half or 2 years later, I try LPGA. So I become LPGA pro 2010.
Okay. Now, I'm really curious. You said that you met your husband while you were going to the English classes. Is that right?
Yes.
And was he a golfer?
He was not golfer.
He was not a golfer.
Yeah, he was not a golfer.
And where was he from? He was in the English class, so he wasn't from...
He's from Korea, too.
Okay.
And
okay.
He played tennis, but... when I pick up golf club, he said, I want to do that too.
Okay.
So we both tried. So we played golf. But the sad part is, he's a good guy.
But he's a bad golfer.
During the riot, all this business burned down and we physically, mentally got damaged each other.
Oh.
And so we broke up our marriage with two daughters. He plays still golf. He belonged to country club and he played golf. And I continue to play golf and I become a pro. And he's not a pro, but he's enjoying golf game, I guess.
You guess.
And
yeah.
yes, I can beat him. Yes, I've been always beat him.
I have a feeling you can beat a lot of people and that you're a very determined. I get the sense you're a very determined golfer and very competitive and not to be messed with. In a competitive situation on the golf course.
Yes, I like competitive situation.
Yeah.
And also, I like to play new course. It gives me more thinking and more carefully watch what I'm doing and an aiming target better because I'm so used to our course. Oh, here, my course kind of feel. But when you go new and strange course, it gave me a more motivate, and golf course gave me some more energy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that okay, now I want to talk about teaching kids to play golf, but you've got me intrigued. When you're going to play a new golf course, how do you approach that? What is it that you do to get yourself prepared to play a new course?
Don't try to get yourself to hit, okay, I'm going to show my golf swing. Don't do that. Just think about a read of your scorecard. Look at the if they have any map or anything, pictures. Look, get the information from the golf course and what slope, how their course rating. And so get the information from the course and look around the golf course. Get the beauty of those golf course. Try to get more relaxed and enjoy just like your chess game, like where you want to put the first ball. And picture from the hole to the tee ground. Do not plan from, I'm going to hit 240 yards, bam, right there. No, just think about, plan it. Oh, this course is 400 yards, par four. There's no way that I can get in two. Then plan it where you think you can do a chipping and pitching. Mm-hmm. Picture the golf course and look around. Get the information from the course instead of what you are showing. And when you do that, you can more relax and enjoy golf course more and enjoy your game.
Very good advice. Do you look at the rating slope or the total yardage when you determined the difficulty of the course overall and where which tees you're going to be playing from? Or do you just always play from the back tees because you're a beast?
Oh, no, I cannot play back tee anymore. Do you want me to see my age?
Only if you're willing to admit it, because I'm not.
Oh, okay. I'm a senior golfer. So
okay, we
I
both
used
are.
To play YT.
Okay.
But depends the distance. Sometimes they have now 5 tee ground.
Yeah.
So some course has so many. It's not about the distance, really. So when you think about 400 yards, I can put on 2 on the green. And then your third shot dealing with, is that going to be 30-yard chip shot or 70-yard pitching shot or 100-yard 9-iron? I'm talking about senior level or beginner level. So think about that. So you don't have to really king, like, put your 100%, 120%. Just the relaxed game. The whole thing is about the relax. So if you think from the hole and look at the rating and look at the golf course information, then it will really help you to relax from the first tee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, that's phenomenal information. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back and we will talk about, we'll get started right away, start talking about getting your child started in golf. Kathy, so often I'll receive emails from listeners who are saying, well, I've really enjoyed your show, but I just had a kid and I don't know if I'm ever going to get to play again until my kid leaves home. And that's a fear that a lot of people have, is that once you start having children, your golf life has to end. But what I like to remind people, and I'm sure it's well documented at this point, that when your children are growing up and they start playing sports, if they play, you know, basketball, little league, flag football, whatever it is they're playing, you take your child to the practice, you drop them off, or you sit in the stands and you watch, and you are not, you know, engaged with your child at that time. You're not participating. But people who get their kids to play golf with them early on, they don't have to be a coach, but they get to engage and be with their child in an environment that is outdoors, it's open, you can talk honestly or not talk, but it just is such a great opportunity to have more time doing a life sport with your child.
That's true, you know. Like early age, when the kids are younger and they don't know about the golf game and the parents play golf and you can just, you don't know how to start with them, like basketballs and other game when they grown up, you can't play with them. So you just have to watch them until pick them up. So you're wasting your time. And I mean, not wasting, of course, you're supporting your kid.
Yeah.
But golf, when the kids start playing and they can talk together, they can play together. But how do they start that? So what age is a good age to start? Some parents, they They wanted to play golf with the kids. They bring them 2.5 years old, 3 years old to me. So I said, I start with interview with them, bring them, and then, well, my kids know already how to play golf. She's 2.5 and 3 years old. And then bring them and I interview them first.
Right.
And make sure, I just want to interview. I have that sense and see the kids' ability. And this kid's really, even 3 years old, wants to do it, or parents pushing. And I found out, so I give a right kind of club and let them hit, even putt, so they know. I can kind of see that this kid can start in three. But mostly, I'll tell them, wait until 4.5 or 5 years old. And also, I offer family class, mom and daughter, dad and son, or four, mom and dad and kids. So it's like, I offer family lesson a lot. And I give this regularly. Every week, I have a 2 or 3 family classes that really work.
Wow.
So 5 years old and mom and dad, and 3 years and mom and dad. It's like I give them like mom team with son and dad team with daughter. So we start little putting game, good, little chipping game. And I also put colorful prop for kids. And actually, parents enjoy more than kids. Unbelievable. And they're high five. So having them fun instead of giving them too much work and stress.
Yeah.
And so they built this relationship from early age. And if they are busy, because children have so many other activities, you don't want to learn only golf. They have to go piano lesson. They have to go swimming lesson. So I told them if they're busy, what shall I do? They asked me. Then I said, give them season, like golf season and swimming season. So you don't have to continue from this game. So summertime, they have a swimming classes going on. Then it's so hot. Then you skip until fall. And kids wanted to go golf. But this is a swimming season. And we're going to come back. Meanwhile, whenever we go vacation, we take our putter. So we still have a putting game going on. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And then on wintertime, too cold to play golf. Then this time is baseball time or whatever soccer game or football game is going on September and October. That's fine. But sometime you go a family trip to go Hawaii and take your 7-iron and go hit some ball there. So you have a season, like golf season. You can't do everything for children whole year, golf. So give them this opportunity, different things to meet. When the children does other sports, that help a golf game. But don't forget, continue education anything, which is do some putting, do some chipping, even you don't take a class. But when your summertime come, or springtime come, this is your golf season, then give them series of lessons or family lessons or whatever lesson is. So you can budget and plan it ahead of time for a year for your kids. That's what I suggest.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but you're saying that children really shouldn't start playing golf before they're 5 years old?
They should start. It depends. So I'm interview them. If somebody wants to give a lesson 3 years old, I always interview them first.
Yeah.
I want to meet the kid first and then check their hands. And then I talk to them a little bit. So if they are really interested about this, and I have two kids, 3.5 years old, and one just become 4 years old. They're playing really good, cute, very cute. Mm-hmm. And I play golf with them from 40 yards away.
Mm.
I don't play from teen ground for where the regular teen know, but I made them little course, and I drive out all the way to 40 yards, and they hit to the green, and they have to see the green when they play. You can't just say, all the way down there is a tee. No, the flag. You have to show them flag. So you have to drive all the way out closer so they see the hole. And so the kids able to hit on the green that distance. And then from there, if they made a little mistake, I mean, there's no mistake. You made a little slice and then let them chip and unpot. Mm-hmm. That's all. Depends age group. But even 3 years old, take them on the course. They love it.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. When do you start?
I can send you a picture. Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. When do you start keeping score for the kids? I mean, if you got a 40-yard hole, I'm sure you're making it a par three, but you're not bringing up par at that point, are you?
If they know how to count 10, okay?
Yeah.
If kids know how to count number 10 and they know what. And also, everybody par and their goal is different and depends on kids. So there's no par 3, par 4, or par 5 for kids. I will give them, even if it's a 40 yards, how many you think you can do it? And ask kids. And then they said, I can do 4. And then how old are you? I'm 4 years old. Oh, that's good. 4 years. And okay, your par is 4. And we try. And then we tried and he made a 6 or 7. And next time, I think that was a little tough. How about this time we give a goal for 5? So we change their par. I change a par. We negotiate with the kids and they know how to count their age and then they know how to count their number. And they're actually really, really smart, smarter than adults. Sorry to say that. But yeah, sometimes you hit 5, some adults can't remember how many they hit because each shot they focus so much, grip and setup and all this, they forgot how many they did. But children, they remember everything what they did. So I think earlier age that you can ask them count their score, it's okay.
I think you've come on to a really exciting idea. I think we should be able to negotiate with the PGA or the USGA that we can say, you know what, I'm going to make this a par 5 today. I just want to make up a number because I can count to 7. And that, you know, I never count to 8. I only count to 7. I want to make
But I ask kids, what would you think? So they bring up, I can do this 7, or they come up with their own idea. So yeah. We give them a goal. Mm-hmm. And then goal have to adjust. If, you know, the game is growing, then our goal is adjust. Then later on age, they understand what's a par meaning, and then you input and give more information, more detail, and there's a par 3, there's a par 4, and all this. But when they're 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and their goal is different than other.
When you do the family lessons, is it required for you that not only the child is a beginner, but the parent is a beginner?
That's okay. Any levels, I'm fine.
So what is so when you have a father and a son, or a father daughter, and the father's an experienced golfer, do you advise the parent not to be the coach while you're coaching, or do you let them get involved in giving instruction?
Okay, when they come to a teaching tea, they wanted to learn and totally respect with coach, and then I give them heads up a little bit. And so the father is really experienced and 15 years teenager is totally new and not listening what dad says. So they brought to me and they're doing together. Family lesson, semi-private lesson, usually I give 1 hour, 30 minutes is too short. So 1 hour lesson, we set a goal first and we interview each other for first 5 or 10 minutes. So this lesson, what we wanted to achieve, and then father said, my son is beginner, I need to give him, okay. Then I want you to warm up. You're already experienced golfer. A couple of a mat behind, you practice and hit some ball. Let me start with your son first. So give him basic fundamental. And until I give him all this basic information, and please just patient. The golf needs patience and time. And just like you, when you learn the same thing, it takes time. So I put a couple yards away for the father who's taking lesson together. And he is hitting ball for his own warm-up. And he picking some time to look at. And after a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, so he or she or mom or dad watch son is taking lesson and really changing in their swing or setup. And they know the difference right away when I teach. It really makes it different because I'm a pro. And I know what I make change and start with really good. So they see, oh my goodness, I try to tell him to do this, never did it. Oh, look at that in 5 minutes. So I don't have any problem parents to do that. So there's some parents doing that in group lesson, but not in private lesson or semi-private lesson. And we set the rule when we have a group lesson, parents stay 30 yards away. That's a 30 yards away.
Good.
So
That's a great suggestion. When you're taking a child out before you sign them up for lessons, before you sign them up for family classes, but you're interested in getting your child out there to start getting them interested in going out and playing since you've been doing it for a while, you as the parent, do you advise that you start the child on the putting green or at the driving range?
I used to give a lesson for putting lesson first.
Yeah.
But since it become a business, when they are thinking, I'm going golf lesson, they are imagine like a full swing, the picture of the ball flying in the air. That's their dream and desire. I don't want to kill it the day first. So when they come, they like to learn how to hold a club and they want to hit balls. So I start from basic fundamental and try to hit some chipping and pitching and go full swing.
Fabulous.
But second lesson, I introduce a putting. So it's business-wise, but someone who really know that, oh, I heard about you doing really good. I really want to stay this game. I will follow you whatever you say so. Then I start from putting because it's really nice to show from couple inches from hole and then move back to a chipping, 15 yards, 20 yards. Then you go 60, 70 yards for little pitching shot. And really, and then they understand. They don't learn how to, you know, I teach a full swing first in group lesson, everybody doing overswing when I don't see it. You know, like you have 10 people, half of them doing overswing because they think that's the full swing. So if I teach from the hole and chipping and pitching, they never take a club too much because they know the importance of a short game and they got the basic fundamental more correctly. So they know how to take, how much they are taking backswing. So it depends. When it's a business-wise group lesson, everybody expecting full swing, then I start from full swing, but I will explain them importance of a putting and a chipping. So the next lesson will be placed for putting and chipping. Mm. I hope you... Is that clear?
Yes. Yes, it's very clear. And I am so impressed with how articulate you are and are able to get your thoughts across in a language that you probably struggle with thinking in that language, but you did a great job.
I am Korean, and my background is a Korean. I grew up there.
Yeah.
So I speak Korean, and I speak pretty good Spanish.
Okay.
So,
and
what, Spanish.
And how? When you think, do you think in Korean, Spanish, or English?
It's half and half. And I don't.
How could you have half? I gave
Spanish.
Three options here.
Most of time, I think 60-70% of the time, daily activity, I speak English. So
yeah.
I'm thinking more in English.
Okay.
But when I maybe dream, maybe I 50-50.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's interesting. And so you're at the Brookside Golf Course?
Brookside.
Brookside, is it public or is it a private course?
It's a public golf course. Okay. We have beautiful two golf courses.
And and you probably have a spectacular practice facility as well.
Oh, yes. We have a really, really great teaching area. We have about 30 teaching mats over there.
Oh, great. And this is in Pasadena, California.
Yes, right next to the Rose Bowl.
Oh, nice. In the shadow of the Rose Bowl. Well, yes. Kathy, it's been a joy to speak with you. I really appreciate it. And again, the book is From the Hole to the Tee, which we weren't yes. expecting to promote, but I'm happy to do. The Hole to the Tee by Kathy Cho, C-H-O, and Paul Cervantes. And your website is KathyChoGolf.com, Kathy with a K, C-H-O, KathyChoGolf.com. Kathy,
yes.
thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you so much, Fred. I heard this is a really, really good podcast. And thank you so much for having me there.
Okay, up next, Tony Manzoni tackles another listener question in our Golf Smarter Academy brought to you by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, swimmers, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. I hope you're enjoying the Golf Smarter Academy because I'm learning a ton. I'm learning so much, and I'm so excited to get your questions that I wouldn't necessarily ask of our instructors. So I encourage you, please, step over the ropes of the gallery and tee up your question that just needs some valuable but free advice on an issue that you're currently having with your game or your gear. Please call. It's a toll-free number, 415-761-1498. There's a button on our website that will dial it for you from your smartphone or your tablet. And when your question gets answered on the show, and it will be answered, I promise, you'll receive a copy of Tony's DVD, The Lost Fundamental, and you'll also get a Golf Smarter Academy diploma and one of our brand new Golf Smarter ball markers. You know, I apologize for making the ball marker and DVD only for U.S. addresses, but apparently shipping costs and declarations outside the U.S. have made it too costly and difficult to ship. But as you've already have heard on past Academy segments, geography has no limits on submitting a question. Actually, no matter where you call from, you'll get a Golf Smarter Academy diploma suitable for framing emailed directly to you. And I wasn't planning on doing this, but since I mentioned it in the last episode, I've already received requests for people who want to purchase our new Golf Smarter ball marker. So if you'd like to be a Golf Smarter ambassador and give this out to your playing partners or keep them all for yourself, they're just $2 a piece, and that includes the shipping inside the United States. But no matter where you live, if you're interested in getting the Golfers Podcast ball marker, send me an email. Or hashtag Golf Smarter on Twitter to start the conversation to get them to you. So now let's go to our inbox at the Golf Smarter Academy presented by Health IQ and hear from a golf martyr who needs some help from Tony Manzoni.
Hi, Fred. It's Mark Duongshan here from Surrey, BC, Canada. First of all, thank you for reading my suggestion about calling our community Smarty Pants. But anyways, I did have a question for Tony Manzoni. I would say that the majority of golfers, myself included, probably have a left-to-right shape for the ball. We would like to think of it as a fade, but in actuality, it's probably more of a cut or a slice. So my question for Tony is that how does the amateur or novice golfer like myself go into a mindset and trying to find a difference between what a true fade feels like as compared to what is a cut or a slice where we're just trying to hopefully salvage into a workable fade. Anyways, thanks for taking my call and thanks for the great work and keep up all of the great episodes. Thank you.
Hi, Mark. I heard your message and I'm going to try to answer, and it's a kind of a difficult one. Most players on the tour or low handicap players that choose to cut the ball slightly, they want to hit a power fade, and they set up to the ball. They set up to the left of their target and just open the blade just a degree or so and then commit to where they're aiming. And, of course, with the blade open, the ball will kind of fade just a bit to the right. As for what you're talking about, the difference, a slice is something when you're coming across the ball from over the top or maybe hanging onto it at impact, not releasing the club so the blade stays open. And it bends quite a bit to the right. That's not a shot that you should be working on. You should be working on being able to cut the ball slightly so that you aim maybe 5 to 10 yards left of your target for fairway shots, and maybe 5 yards from your target for a green shot. And it's not an easy shot, but you can do it. It just takes time to get used to swinging left of the target and watching the ball go right. And again, you have to fan that blade open just a little bit, prior to in your setup, and then swing with the blade open, and the ball should start to the left of the target and break to the right. I hope this helps, but it takes a lot of work. I will tell you that. The easiest thing is to hook it. The hardest thing is to cut it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, now you tell me. Golf Smarter Academy is presented by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, swimmers, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/golfsmarter to see if you qualify. Now, are you aware that 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance? These savings are exclusive to Health IQ, and they want you to take advantage of them because, you know, life insurance is forever. So these savings add up, way up. People with high Health IQ are 42% less likely to be obese and have a 50% lower hospitalization rate than those with low Health IQ. So if you are yet to purchase life insurance, are in the market, or wanting to find lower or exclusive rates, then check out an insurance agency with a common sense approach. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/golfsmarter or mention the promo code GOLFSMARTER when you get on the phone and talk to a Health IQ agent. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find me on those platforms at GOLFSMARTER. At Golf Smarter, or use hashtag Golf Smarter to get everyone involved in our conversation. And please don't forget to check out all of our academy offerings, from the podcast to our clinics in La Quinta, California, at golfsmarter.com/academy.